Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 220 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Oh, man, it's been hot down here. We finally have summer in South Carolina after it avoided us for a while, but we're up like around 90 consistently, so it's been pretty warm and pretty muggy, so not enjoying being outside this time of year.
Dude, it's only like 70 and muggy here, and I'm already pissed off about it. Like I can't imagine. Like the few times, obviously, that I've traveled down to the Southeast. I remember the first time I went down to the Southeast was when my uncle, before he retired, he was an engineer. So he was like, you know, you go around to various plants and kind of have multiple years here, and then move on to the next place. So he was down in like right outside of Atlanta back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and my mother and I went down, I think it was like, you know, April, you know, break from school. I was like 8, 9 years old, and he had this sliding door off the living room out to the backyard, and I went out there to, you know, play with a ball or something. I was like 8 years old. It was like 7 in the morning, and I opened the screen door and just got hit with that humidity like a brick. It was like, even at 8 years old, I was like, oh, this sucks. Like, I said, I don't know how you guys, obviously you're used to it. It's like, yeah, just like up here, we're used to the snow and the cold and all the crap during the winter. So yeah, obviously you get used to it. But man, it's just like much different than like Arizona. When we go out there, it's like it's hot, but it's like a dry heat. So
yeah,
though they do get much higher. Like I've, you know, been on a podcast with Welsh, and he'd be like, "Yeah, it was 112 here today." I'm like, I don't want to deal with that.
No, not at all.
I'd rather have cold winters than a, you know, 120 degree summers. That's too much, but. Enough of the weather, though.
We're here for baseball. And it is baseball weather.
It is baseball weather, yes. Baseball weather usually means warm weather, fortunately. And we're going to have a fun little episode here today. We've been fortunate to get so many promotions of, you know, exciting young prospects this year. that we figured we, you know, since we're about the half, right about the halfway mark of the season, we would do like a little mini mock draft of sorts of players that have debuted this year. So even if they were still a prospect entering the year, but they debuted like in September last year, not going to count those guys. Like, we won't be counting, you know, Corbin Carroll or Gunner, the guys that were still prospects entering the year, simply guys that made their debut this year, whether it was on opening day or 2 days ago. So there's anybody that debuted this year, and we're going to do a mock draft to like how we value them long-term in Dynasty. So should be a fun little exercise here. I think there's a pretty chalk top three. And then after that, go plenty of different directions. But before we get into the mock draft, let's get the housekeeping out of the way. You can find us on Twitter, Chris is that RotoClegg. I'm EricCross04. Show's at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy the podcast, please drop that rating and review. Those do mean a lot. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, Chris's Substack and my Patreon, for more work from each of us, including all of our prospect and dynasty rankings. We've gone through updates recently, and Chris has his great dynasty trade calculator. So, Chris, why don't you actually, I don't think we actually talked about that too much on the podcast. You want to do a quick plug for your awesome trade calculator you just made up?
Sure. Yeah, that is, we've kind of been a big work in progress of something I've been working on, and we were just like a Google Sheet, like drop down, but now we have an app that's built for the trade calculator, which is really cool. Basically, I built a 3-year projection system. So basically like a dynasty projection, because I think 3 years is pretty useful.
Yeah.
And basically you go in this app and you put in the names of the players that you're going to trade. So like if you want to trade Acuna, like you put them in there. And it spits out a 3-year value. You can also check, like, if you're playing for like just 2024, 2025, you don't have to check 2023. You can do all three-year value, 1-year value, whatever you want to do. There's also the cool thing I like, you can put in draft picks. Like, you put in the 1-1 this year, and like, it shows you how valuable it is. Cause, like, you know, Dylan Cruz, like, how valuable is he? Well, it tells you prospects, like, all those things are in here. It even suggests players to add, which is cool. So, like, if I'm trying to get Acuna and like I've offered Corey Seager, like it's going to suggest another player that I might need to add, like based on value. So like it spits out and says like, okay, maybe I need to add Mookie Betts and Corey Seager. Like, does that get you Acuna? It might. Like, and so it's cool. There's replacement level value. So like if you're doing like a 3-for-1 deal, and that's something people like always like had qualms with when it's like you get one player for like three, but throw in the replacement level value. I've calculated replacement level value for every league size. So you just put in your league size and it'll tell you like how much that replacement level value is worth. Like if you can pick up more players, like if you're getting the 1 in a 3-to-1 deal, then it evens it out a little bit. So it's a really cool thing. And I'm really kind of proud of that. And you can get it if you're a member of the Dynasty Dugout Substack. So you can check it out at thedynastydugout.com.
Yeah. Great stuff. I highly recommend everyone checking that out. Let's get right into the mock draft though. Chris, do you want to take off the first pick here?
Yeah, I think this first pick would be the easiest for any of us. And looking at players that have debuted this year, so basically like we're taking out Corbin Carroll, like Gunnar Henderson, like those guys aren't in the picture here. Who's the top dynasty player to debut this year? It's Ellie De La Cruz. So Ellie De La Cruz is, I would say, the chalk one for basically anybody when you're looking at like a player that's debuted this year. He is just ascending up rankings. And even with rough stretches, like Ellie's still been spectacular. Like you could argue he's had rough stretches in his 90 major league plate appearances, yet 3 home runs, 9 stolen bases, a 301, a near 900 OPS. His average EV is very high. He's the fastest sprint speed in baseball. His max EV is already 98th percentile. Like we know the tools are just absolutely insane here with Ellie De La Cruz. 32% strikeout rate might scare you away, but I think if Ellie K's at 30% for his career, then he's going to be a fantasy first rounder his entire career. Because I think the tools are just that spectacular with Ellie. So 21 years old, he's in a great home ballpark to hit. Like, it's hard not to be in on this guy. I've seen the Twitter controversy of selling him high. Like, of course you sell high if you get a top 10 player. Like, yeah, but I'm not selling high just for anybody. Like selling Ellie De La Cruz high in Dynasty is reserved for seriously a top 10 asset. Like I'm not selling Ellie for 2 players or 3 players. Like I'm trying to trade Ellie to get an Acuna. Like I'm trying to package Ellie with somebody to get Acuna, basically is what I'm looking to do. So that's the value you should be looking for at this point. He's a dude. We know that the tools are Tatis and Acuna-esque if he hits enough. So we'll see how that all works out. But I think Ellie is easily the top player that has debuted this year.
Yep, no doubt about it. And he's already pushing top 10 overall in Dynasty for me. At this very second, I have him 11, but I'm tempted to move him up another couple of spots. So I want to put up my Dynasty rankings next week. Decent chance he might be top 10. That's, yeah, the upside is massive, and he's already shown that, and obviously in the minor leagues as well. So I'll go number two here. Again, I think the top three is pretty chalked. There should be no surprises. I'll go Jordan Walker. Obviously, was sent back down after being, you know, wasn't even bad earlier there. I think he was hitting like 280 when he got sent down, but was scuffling a little bit at the time. Started out really hot, but he's been really good since coming back. And in the last 30 days, Walker is slashing 333, 418, 551, 418 WOBA, 169 WRC plus, which is top 20 in baseball. Over the actually, this is the month of June. So, okay, so it is June 29th right now. So basically, the last 30 days. But he's been hitting the ball really hard as well. You know, just needs to get the ball in the air consistently. That's been kind of a little bit of an issue for him at times. It's, you know, when I was updating my, which I haven't really done too much lately, I probably should get back to it. My, you know, the exit velocity leaderboards are like, you know, 100, 105, 110. He was always ranking super high in those, but a lot of that was just into the ground, unfortunately. But this is a guy that has, you know, I won't say Aaron Judge upside, but close to it. If everything clicks and he's able to start driving the ball in the air more consistently, he's also showing a pretty good approach lately too. 11.4% walk rate in the month of June with a 19% K rate, ISO over 200. It's really doing everything we'd hoped for from him. And overall this year, he's been really good. Also, that little cold stretch in, you know, late April or whatever it was, I think he's going to be, you know, top 25 dynasty player right now. And a guy that could be up into that, you know, 15 to 18 range where we have like Devers and Austin Riley, guys like that. I think he can get right up in that range as well. So, yeah, I think you're a pretty easy pick here at number two.
Yeah, I agree. Those were the chalk one, two in my book. But this next guy, I think, is a chalk three, but he's certainly pushing towards Jordan Walker's value for me. Maybe you know where I'm going. It's a pitcher. It's Eury Pérez. He's 20 years old. The 6'8" beast on the mound has just absolutely dominated this year. For a 20-year-old, dominating the major leagues with a 1.34 ERA, a sub-1 whip in 9 starts with 54 strikeouts in 47 innings. We're talking a fastball that sits 97.5. Surprisingly, not getting the whiffs on it, despite a movement profile that I actually like. I think the whiffs will come there. But the secondaries have been absurdly good. Throwing his slider about 28% of the time, has a 42% whiff rate. Throwing his curve 15% of the time, has a 60% whiff rate. Throwing the changeup 11.5% of the time, 53.1% whiff rate on that. He's 20 years old. Eury Pérez is legit. Arsenal comps on Baseball Savant, based on velocity and movement. Spencer Strider, Hunter Green, Michael Kopech, like, those are names you want to be around. Obviously, Kopech's a little different. Strider's elite, but Eury is elite. He's 20 years old. I love this arm. I know this year he's likely to be limited. I could see him being sent down and getting some work, or actually, you know, maybe he has a phantom IL stint at some point so they can limit his innings. They're going to want him down the stretch. Like, there's no doubt. The Marlins are contending. They're going to want him down the stretch of the season. So he'll be back. He's going to pitch plenty this year. And Eury Pérez is a top 10 dynasty arm, so it's an easy call for me here to draft him third.
Yeah, he's the other guy that's in semi-top 50 overall now for dynasty. Easy top 10 dynasty arm, probably top 5 dynasty arm. We talked more about that last week, too. So if you want to hear a little bit more in-depth discussion on Eury, we had that last week. Check that out. All right, this is where the draft really starts. I mean, those three should be no surprise. I have a pretty – this is like – now we're getting to like right around, you know, give 100 in my dynasty rankings, give or take 10, 15 spots either way. I could go a few different ways here. I think I'm going to go Matt McClain actually here at number four. I've been very good in his first 186 plate appearances, 6 home runs, 4 steals, 316, 371, 538 slash line. You know, after, you know, tightening up that approach earlier in the year in AAA, it's kind of gotten, yeah, not out of hand, but kind of reverted back to his older ways. 27.5% K rate, which isn't terrible, but the walk rate only 5.9%. At the same time, I'm not really worried about that. He doesn't chase too much. that she has a better than league average chase rate, you know, right around a league average whiff rate. So no concerns there. Zone contact's right around league average as well at 82.5%, so slightly above league average. He absolutely mashes fastballs and breaking balls right now, hitting above 350 with a 600-plus slug on both of those. Really struggling against off-speed, though, right now, so like changeups and splitters and whatnot. But not really concerned about that. It's a very small sample size there. And yeah, his quality of contact metrics aren't – they're pretty solid, 40.8% hard hit rate, 13.3% barrel rate, exit velocity is 89 miles an hour. They don't stand out, but even that, I mean, with half his games at Great American Ballpark, I think he can be a, you know, 20 to 25 home run guy annually with probably 15 to 20 steals as well, four already, 91st percentile sprint speed. This does, you know, not as sexy as the three names we talked about already, but just does a lot of things well across the board. I think that Reds lineup's going to be pretty damn good and getting even better once they finally add Encarnacion Strand into the mix. Good ballpark again. So, yeah, I think he's going to be one of those guys that's just a really good, you know, all-around player that's, you know, going to be like a top 100 guy year in, year out, and, you know, maybe even get second base eligibility in some of your leagues as well. He already has it in Yahoo leagues. Maybe he adds it in, you know, Fantrax and CBS and NFBC eventually. So that'd be really nice to get all this to second base. But yeah, so it's a really good all-around profile that, you know, I think is a top 100 guy.
Yeah, that's a solid name for sure. McClain's one you can go a couple different ways with when with rankings. And, you know, it's I don't fault anybody for putting him this high at all. You want to include Masataka Yoshida in this?
I was going to ask that. Yeah, you know, let's do it. I mean, he technically was a prospect and technically debuted this year. So,
yeah, okay. Well, that would be my pick here with Masataka Yoshida of the Red Sox. He is been really solid this year. He's basically outperformed any expectations. You know, it's like, okay, great hit tool, no power. So everybody was kind of like, eh, not sure. And I was in that boat too. But we're looking at a profile now that we've seen a really solid sample size of. He's got a 44% hard hit rate. He's striking out 10% of the time, walking 9% of the time. Those are excellent numbers. He doesn't swing and miss at all. The barrel percentage is kind of meh at 7.2%, but that's okay because it's really the lack of lifted balls, a lower launch angle. He's got to lift the ball a little more. Yoshida, you look at his spray chart, and he could easily have 10 to 12 home runs. He has a little speed as well. He's an OBP monster. He feels like almost a lock to hit near 300. So this is a pretty safe profile, and despite being 29, like, I see this profile as being pretty safe. So Masataka Yoshida has plenty of good years ahead of him. He's not going to be flashy, but I think this is the kind of profile you want on your dynasty rosters because it's a safe floor, and those kind of players really help you out. Power, great average, and a little bit of speed too. So I really like Yoshida. He's going to end up with about 80 runs in RBI, at least what he's pacing for. It's a solid all-around player. So not flashy, not a high upside guy, but a guy that really benefits your fantasy teams.
Yeah, I think Yoshida's been pretty much as advertised, you know, like great OBP skills and approach, you know, 18, 20 homer guy, you know, gets on base, scores some runs. Yes, I've been very just, you know, even just as a Red Sox fan, I've been pleased with the performance from Yoshida so far. I'm going to go with a guy that's, I think, you know, he's slid down some rankings a bit. He probably would have been a guy that would have went third or fourth here if we did this a couple months ago. But I'm going with Anthony Volpe here. And it's been very much a kind of mixed bag for Volpe so far this year. You know, on one hand, he's right around a 20-30 pace, which, you know, you can't really be too pissed off about that. He has 10 home runs and 16 steals so far, but only hitting 212, 290 OBP, 375 slug. So that slash line just doesn't look good at all. You know, quality of contact is, you know, pretty solid, above average, I'd say, across the board. 9% barrel rate, 89.5 mile an hour exit velo, 43.5% hard hit rate. But he's striking out too often, 30.2%. Walk rate's okay, 9.5%. And you look at some of the contact metrics here, they're all, you know, the whiff rate's 30.7%, chase 29.2, zone contact 79.2. So, you know, not really what you'd expect to see from a guy hitting 212, But at the same time, he hasn't really hit for a high average since he was in the lower levels of the minors. Even in Double A, I think he hit 251 there, 236 in Triple A. So maybe he's only, you know, a 250-ish hitter long term instead of a 270, 280 guy. But if that can come with, you know, 15 to 20 home runs and 25 to 30 steals, I think you'll take that. So, you know, again, maybe we have to temper expectations a little bit. And maybe he's more of like a, you know, a top 75 guy than some guy that can get up, you know, a top 25 in dynasty rankings. But yeah, and I think it speaks volumes too that the Yankees have, you know, basically said, you know, we're sticking with Volpe. He's our guy. I thought they maybe would switch back to Peraza. That has not been the case yet. But, you know, Peraza's doing pretty well in AAA right now. So they're confident in Volpe. And even with a lower average, the power speed lens should still be pretty solid there. So I think he's still a top 100 guy moving forward or right around there.
Yeah, I agree. Volpe was an interesting one. Obviously not sure where he was going to fall. He's one that I think people are struggling to value right now because of what he's been doing. So it's kind of made it a bit tougher to really gauge his dynasty value. I'm going back to the pitching well here. Going with Gavin Williams. I think Gavin Williams just has elite stuff. He's only given us two starts in the majors, and he's only struck out 10 and 12 and two-thirds innings and whatever. But Williams does have better stuff than we have seen so far in his two major league starts. He's averaging about 96 miles an hour from what we've seen. But in the minors, we saw that number around 97 and 98. So it's a great fastball. He gets lots of ride up in the zone. He's getting whiffs with it. He also throws a great slider. My biggest hesitation with Gavin Williams is the high fastball usage. So far through two starts, he's used it 58% of the time. That's right in line with the way he did in the minors, 62% usage in the minors. So that's a heavy fastball usage. But when it's good, it can play. And we've kind of seen that revolution. We've seen that with Sheehan and Brian Wu and Bryce Miller, even Bobby Miller to an extent. Like these guys just pumping their four-seamer. It's a good four-seamer. They're just going to utilize it and just pound the crap out of it at the top of the zone. And it works. So while it's a bit of a concern seeing him use it that much, like I'd rather see that number a little bit lower. We can live with it. The slider and curve are both really solid secondaries. He's going to mix in the change to left-handed batters as well. He pretty much just throws the slider to righties and the curveball to lefties. So he's dropping the curveball to the back toe of left-handed batters. So it's a good three-pitch mix in that sense, but really it's just the four seam and the slider to right. He's going to mix in the curve occasionally. So he does have technically four pitches in the arsenal, but I do think Gavin Williams has high end stuff. And I think we're going to see that as we continue to see him pitch in the majors. And I'm really intrigued to see what he'll do. I just love this profile. I really love the arsenal. He's a starter frame, 6'6", 250. He's a workhorse. He's going to give you a lot of innings. We've already seen that this year. And so for me, Gavin Williams is just flying up board. He's one of the top dynasty arms of players that have debuted this year in a really solid group.
Yeah, there's been a lot. So I was just about to say, I think we're going to have a lot of pitchers upcoming the rest of this draft. There's a lot in this range of rankings, at least in my rankings, I'm sure in yours as well. I was wondering who was going to be this number two arm behind Yuri in this, because I think there's a little bit of a cluster here. And this is tough. Like, there's like three guys that I'm considering that are all within five spots of each other in my overall. I'll go to the bat here. So hopefully I can get one of those other two pitchers after that. I'm going to go with Jordan Westberg here. Obviously the most recent one to debut and was having a phenomenal year in AAA, both hitting for average, hitting for plenty of power, showing a decent approach as well, hitting .417 through his first, obviously just three games, 5-for-12, no home runs quite yet, but the home runs will definitely be there. I think it's like a 25-30 homer guy. This guy hit 27 home runs last year, 12 steals. This year was on a, similar pace, actually on pace for more power than that, 18 home runs and six steals in 67 games for AAA Norfolk, slashing .295. 372, 567, walk rate a tick under 10%. K rate was just over 20%. So just doing a lot of things well. I think he's a, like a 25 homer, you know, 10 steal type that could give you a pretty solid average and a good OBP as well. Like I was very encouraged to see, you know, the approach, you know, take a step forward this year, at least the K rate coming down a bit from last year. It wasn't even that bad last year or the year before that, but seeing those like little improvements while still hitting for plenty of power and stealing a few bags. I want to see where he ends up on the diamond though, because obviously, you know, you got Gunnar Henderson there, you got Kobe Mayo coming up. Is he second base? Is he third base? Is he shortstop? I think they have some flexibility there. But regardless of where he ends up, I mean, a 25-10 profile will play anywhere. I would love to see him at second base, just as I would with Matt McClain. We shall see. But I think this is a guy that's going to be, you know, between like a top 50, top 75 player long term. So definitely really encouraged by what I've seen from him this year. And I would love to have him on plenty of teams moving forward. He's going to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever going to be like super flashy, but he's going to be really solid across the board, give you a lot of eligibility. I think there's a lot to like there in Jordan Westbrook's profile. I'm going back to the pitching well, which is crazy to say, but the pitching has just been so good in this rookie class. And this guy actually struggled a lot in his debut, and that's Grayson Rodriguez, who gave us 10 starts in the majors, 10 pretty poor starts at that, but struck out 56 in 45 innings. We saw flashes of his stuff. His stuff really hasn't fully returned since his injury last year, and he missed most of the 2022 season. But he's rebounded a bit. There's been some bumps in the road in AAA as well. But I will say, you look at the last few starts, and excluding a okay start in, I'll say not even okay, not a great start in Nashville on June 21st, three of his last four starts have been 10 Ks, 11 Ks, and eight strikeouts. So he's getting the stuff back. The release point was a little off in the majors. The release point was honestly the issue and why the stuff was not there. The org kind of tweaked with his release point a bit and his arm slot to try to find something that was a little more sustainable for his arm that they were hoping to avoid injuries with. And it caused his stuff to play down significantly. But I think we've seen the stuff look better in AAA. The four seam's been sitting around 97, looked a little better, been missing more bats. And against AAA, so it's like, we don't want to put a ton of stock into it, but his four seam was getting destroyed in the majors. I had 395 batting average against that. That's incredibly high. You don't want to see that at all, but we're seeing much better results from the four seam. Now in AAA, the changeup looks good. It's getting a ton of whiffs, has a 25% swinging strike rate against it, which is just insane. The curve and slider usage have been there and been solid as well. I think Grayson Rodriguez's return is pretty imminent to the majors, and I would expect that it goes a lot better this time.
100% agree. Yeah, that's a good thing you made my decision easier. I was really debating on him or Taj Bradley, who I'll take here. Yeah, I'm definitely still very much in on G-Rock, rate by low in Dynasty Leagues. And Taj Bradley, you know, the surface ERA, 4.58 through 11 starts, might not be overly encouraging, but, you know, he's pitched a lot better than that ERA will indicate. Just look at his ERA indicators. xERA is at 3.72, his FIP 3.69, xFIP 3.01, and Sierra 3.15. So, but the one thing I wanted to focus on here, you know, he is currently fourth in K-minus walk rate this year for pitchers with 50-plus innings. The three ahead of him, you know, Spencer Strider, obviously, Kevin Gausman, and then Matt Strom. Kind of, I know he's pitching well, but that kind of surprised me. But Bradley's ahead of, like, look at these names behind him. Joe Ryan, Pablo Lopez, Braxton Garrett is having a really good year as well. Shohei Ohtani, Chris Sale, Hunter Green, Lizardo, Kershaw, Eflin, Wheeler, Castillo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So very good list there. He's got 32.2% strikeout rate, only a 7% walk rate. That strikeout rate is, we'll see, that ranks, let's see, fourth, only behind, obviously, Strider, Gausman, and who's the other one he was behind? Oh, Shohei Ohtani's at 33.2% strikeout rate. So fourth in strikeout rate. Again, fourth in K-minus BB as well. Four-seam cutter, curveball, changeup mix. You know, the changeup, which is actually his least thrown pitch, has the highest whiff rate, 42.5%. He's right around 28% on both the cutter and the curveball. Curveball is 147 batting average against, 235 slug. You know, the four-seam cutter have been getting hit around a little bit, 273 and 283 batting average against, respectively, on those pitches. slug of 475 and 509. But you know, I think he's locating them fairly well. So I don't think it's a location issue. Maybe a little bit on the cutter, but four seamer is looking up in the zone pretty well. Changeup's actually not been a good pitch command wise, but still getting the whiffs on it because it's got a good movement profile. You know, similar pitchers based on velocity and movement to Bradley this year. Two of them are Justin Verlander and Dylan Cease. It shows you that the stuff is there. Obviously, Tampa Bay is a great org to be in for any pitcher as long as they can stay healthy. But I think he's going to be a really good number two, maybe a guy that could be, you know, a top 25, top 30 kind of fantasy arm moving forward. So a guy that, you know, if that ERA can open up any sort of a buy low window or any sort of discounts, I think the perceived value is a little bit lower than it should be right now. I would jump all over that because I think he's going to be a very good arm long term.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still in on Bradley despite what we've seen. I think there's been some bumps, but regardless, I'm in there. I'm tired of talking pitchers, so I'm going to the hitter. Well, there's a lot of good pitchers, and I could take another one here. So I'm kind of moving off my actual rankings and going with Luis Matos here. Luis Matos, as we like to call him. While his debut hasn't been the best by any means, you know, he's still shown some solid things in his, you know, 21-year-old debut. And it's interesting because Matos was like horrific last year. He was hurt. He came back in September, he finally was putting it together. I was like, okay, like he's going to AFL. Like this is his chance to really like get back his prospect stocks. Like this was a guy we thought could be top 10, and he really faltered in the AFL. It was just, I was disappointed with what we saw. And so after that, it's like, ooh, this is not good. And so I dropped him a decent bit. I put him around like 50 in my rankings. Then he just comes out this year and looks just insane. What he did in AAA was unheard of. Like he was posting some gaudy contact numbers, like 88% contact, 93% zone contact. He was aggressive, but he was just jumping on pitches and making contact. I mean, 6.9% strikeout rate in AAA to 6% walk rate. The exit velo data was good. So it's not like he just played up because he was in the PCL. No, 104 mile an hour, 90th percentile, which is above MLB average. This is a small bodied guy who is 21. So Matos showed a lot of good things. The barrel rate was good. And I think he's shown the flashes of some good things in the major so far. He's walking more than he struck out so far. He has a couple barrels, 5% barrel rate. So I see that tick up a little bit. His average EV has not been the best, but we've obviously know it can be much better based on what we've seen in the larger sample. So Matos is one that I've kind of flown up my board in my rankings. And I really think that Matos will end up being a guy that could be a perennial like 2020 threat. And yep, he's shown that he can make contact and have respectable batting averages. So there's no reason that he can't be a very valuable piece for your dynasty teams. I mean, we saw in the minors this year, 10 home runs, 15 stolen bases, and a 350 average. Like, obviously, that's not the expectation. That was across 250 plate appearances. But I do think that Matos can be a above average hitter with good power and speed. So I'm certainly in here.
Yeah, no, I am too. I think we are both kind of preaching, you know, buy low because the perceived value dropped way too low, you know, over the offseason especially. But yeah, you know, I don't think he was ever like fully 100% last year. He was dealing with a lot of stuff. So yeah, good to see him bounce back. And yeah, definitely 100% agree with Matos long term. I think he's going to be a pretty good fantasy player. Again, and not a super sexy, flashy one, but one that's going to give you some good production across the board. All right, I guess I'll go back to the pitching well because I still got this massive glob of pitchers. And still, I can go a couple of different ways here, but I feel slightly more confident in Bobby Miller than the other couple of names here in this range. I was able to see him in Philadelphia against Aaron Nola, and he pitched very, very well in that outing. And you look at some of the arsenal.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It's just so good. You know, sinker at 98.8, slider at 90.4, mixing the, a changeup at 88.8, four seamers at 99.4, curveball at 10.8. That's the usage rate, 81.3. So he's got the upper 90 stuff, a couple around, you know, upper 80s, low 90s, and then the curveball, you know, a good 17 or so miles an hour slower than the fastballs. And the four seamer's been getting hit pretty hard, 57 batting average against. So maybe he kind of ditches that. The sinker's been pretty good. You know, only at 250 batting average against on the sinker. You're getting ground balls nearly 50% of the time, 48.9%. Has three offerings with, you know, all the secondaries have a whiff rate above 35%. Sliders at 35.5, changeup 42.9, and curveball 40.9. He's throwing those that combined, you know, right around 50% of the time there. So the stuff is so good. Obviously, in the Dodgers org, is, you know, one of the best, if not the best org at developing pitchers. And this, I will just take a, you know, I will bet on the stuff here. And the K rate hasn't quite been as gaudy as you might expect. When you kind of look at the arsenal or just even watch Miller pitch, only 22.5% right now, which is just a tick above league average. But I think this, you're going to see that tick up over time. I think he's going to be a guy that could even be over 30% K rate if he learns how to just, you know, fully maximize his stuff and sequence better. But I think this is going to be, I won't say an ace, but the guy that could be like a borderline ace type guy, could be like a top 15, top 20 pitcher in all of baseball. I think he's that good. So another guy that I would definitely, you know, love to have a lot of stock up in dynasty leagues.
Agreed. He's really, really good. I think he's honestly a great buy, because I think he's better than what he's shown. So
yep,
agreed. I'm in there. I'm going with his teammate here, Emmett Sheehan.
That's the other one I was debating here. Yep.
They're both been really good. They've been really fun to watch. And you know, Sheehan, he skipped AAA altogether. Yeah, he was like called up to AAA, I think, and then he just like didn't ever pitch there and called straight to the major. So only saw him pitch in AA, but his AA performance was just downright dominant. He had a 1.86 ERA, a 0.88 whip, 88 strikeouts in 53 innings. Just insanely dominant there. He dominates hitters with a four seam up in the zone, 96 miles an hour. It has a very unique movement profile that kind of separates him from a lot of fastballs, a lot of ride, and a lot of run. And you won't really see that. Like, it's not classified well on Savant, because like the baseball Savant, like vertical movement that you see is like not IVB, but like his IVB is really good. So like induced vertical break, but you can kind of see it with the horizontal run, like 13 inches of horizontal movement. That's 50% better than like what the average fastball is. And he's doing it with like elite ride. So you call it like bore, like the ride plus the run at 96 miles an hour. I'm genuinely surprised that he's not getting more whiffs. It's kind of like Dustin May-ish. Like, it's like you just watch it and you're like, how's he not getting whiffs with this? Doesn't make sense. But he's getting whiffs with a slider, however, 33% whiff on the slider. You like to see that. I mean, it's a really solid pitch as well. And his changeup that he throws to lefties is really good. So essentially kind of a two-pitch guy in a way, because, you know, only two pitches to each handed batter. But we've seen that Spencer Strider's made it work. And obviously he's throwing the changeup more than Strider does. Small sample, but I am really in on what Emmett Sheehan is made of. His two starts have been really, really good. And I just expect him to be a guy for a really long time. He's going to continue to miss more bats, in my opinion. He's pitching right now in Coors. I would not put a lot of stock into that if he pitches bad, because, again, Coors Field, like, honestly, like that ball, that fastball may do some weird things, like with the air and the how the balls move there. Who knows what it'd be like? I need to tune into that and watch. So as we're recording this, he is pitching in Coors. Like, I think that game just got started. So watching that pretty closely. But yeah, I'm all in on Emmett Sheehan.
Yeah, he was the other one I was debating in this spot. A couple of young Dodgers arms that are just super, super talented with great stuff. And you say, like, that's the Dodgers mold. Like, they get the guys with the stuff, whether they draft them, trade for them. Like, you know, a guy I got from Toronto, Nick Frasso, you know, they'll go and get the stuff and bank on that. They can, you know, fine tune it to the point where these are like really good arms long term. And they just keep doing that over and over again. It's like a never ending supply of these exciting young arms with this nasty, nasty stuff. So it'll be fun to see Miller and Sheehan in that rotation moving forward. Almost unfair. This is tough. There's so many other arms in here. You know what? This is tough. This is a really tough range, Chris. I guess I'll go to Tanner Bibee here. A few other arms I was debating, but again, a guy that I don't think he's not quite as flashy as the other names we've already talked about, but I think he can be a really good like mid-rotation arm moving forward. A guy that's probably always undervalued a bit. He has a 3.79 ERA through his first 11 starts and 59 and a third innings, 22.9% strikeout rate, 8.3% walk rate. Changeup is a really good pitch for him right now. 179 batting average against, 205 slug, only one extra base hit allowed on that changeup with a 44.9% whiff rate. You know, slider, I think, is, you know, getting hit around a little bit more than we expected, but I think this could be better moving forward. It's still not too bad right now. The expected metrics are better than the actual metrics. 171 XBA, 289 X slug, if you put any stock into those. 28% whiff rate, fastball is right around 95 miles an hour. Also mixes in a upper 70s curveball, only about 7.5% of the time, which actually has not been faring too well. But even without, you know, the curveball doing well, I think there's a good 3-pitch mix here with that fastball, slider, changeup that, you know, he throws around 93% of the time combined. And I think that could be a 25, 26% K rate guy, you know, keeps the, you know, home runs, you know, those got to be kept in check. Though he only has 6 in 11 starts, so pretty solid there. You know, slider he commands very well. You know, fastball commands pretty well as well. He's always been a pretty solid command and control guy throughout his professional career. So again, I think it's a guy that's going to be, you know, good, fly under the radar, and just be like, you know, a guy that's always like a back end top 50 arm, something like that. A guy that's gonna be a good like SP4 or so, SP4, SP5 for your fantasy team, depending on how many teams are in the league. But I think the perceived value is a little bit lower on him. So I think he's a pretty decent buy right now.
Agreed. I think Bibee's a really high floor arm that's like kind of essential to have for fantasy purposes. Like, those guys are solid anchors in your rotation. Not flashy, not an ace, but very good. Bryce Miller's interesting. He is my pick here at this spot.
I was debating him as well. And again, it was the last two pitchers pairings here I've been debating between, and you took the other one. So
yeah. Miller has had his ups and downs, and we've seen the bad. We had back-to-back outings in late May and early June where he went 4 2/3 with 8 earned and then 2 1/3 with 7 earned. So despite those two really bad outings, he still has a sub-4 ERA in 10 starts, a 3.88 ERA, and a sub-1 whip at that. Miller's debut was against Oakland. He struck out 10, didn't walk a batter. But since then, the Ks and the whiffs have kind of gone down. But in his last 3 starts, we've seen him go 6 Ks over 6, 6 Ks over 7, and 4 Ks over 4 1/3. And I think that Bryce Miller is going to bounce back. I do think that there's some concerns. Like, he relies almost too heavily on the fastball, like near 70% usage. It's a good fastball with good ride. He gets whiffs on it. Surprisingly, he hasn't gotten whiffs on the secondaries, which I think his slider sweeper's good. Like, I think it's a really solid pitch, but he hasn't really got the whiffs that we want to see. This four seam's just so good. And honestly, the sweeper averaging 47 inches of a vertical drop with 14 inches of sweep, like, that's just a pretty impressive pitch in my opinion. And I'm just genuinely shocked that it's sitting at an 18% whiff rate. I think it's better than that. He has a 4.21 batting average against, and I just struggle to figure out why. I'd really like to see him use it more. I'd like to see him mix it a little better, like just be a little less predictable. But I think Bryce Miller could really take off. So that's why I'm going with him here, because we know what he's made of. We've seen the arsenal. and he's got a really solid arm on him.
Yeah, and if you want like a super like half an hour in-depth breakdown of that, the Alex Fast, you know, in his first episode of the Alex Fast Show, which I believe he did with, it was David Cohn, obviously, yeah, major league pitcher. That was phenomenal. It was like 30, 35 minutes of just super detailed breakdown of Miller, you know, each individual pitch. So that was very well done. So if you want like a really big deep dive into Bryce Miller, he's obviously a very exciting arm, I would definitely recommend going to check that. That was probably about a month ago or so, but you can probably find it on Alex Fast's Twitter feed for sure. Debating between two bats here, though, I'm going to lean, you know, a guy that I'm guilty of undervaluing, underranking, and just because he's another guy that doesn't, you know, he doesn't check off that flashy box, but really solid across the board, and that's Zach Neto, shortstop for the Los Angeles Angels. Obviously injured, he missed some time, but and overall, the overall line doesn't stand out. 259, 338, 431, and 199 play appearances, 6 home runs, 5 steals. But just across the board is, you know, some pretty solid metrics. Quality of contact, 9.3% barrel rate, 90 mile an hour exit velo, 40% hard hit rate. Doesn't strike out, you know, much at all, 18.6% K rate. You know, zone contact rate slightly above league average. Chase rate only 23.5%, whiff rate 24%. You know, again, nothing in the profile really, really stands out. He also has a 65th percentile sprint speed, excuse me. But I think he should be a guy that just does pretty solid production across the board. Guy that could probably flirt with 2020 and that at least get you 15 plus there with a solid average and a decent OBP as well. Maybe like a 270 type of hitter, 350-ish OBP, and probably a guy that gets you a decent amount of runs in RBI as well. It's one of those kind of across the board, steady contributors that'll probably always be undervalued a bit, but so I'll go with Zach Neto here.
Yeah, that's a good pick. The next one I'm really struggling with. I think you can go a lot of ways, and this may not be like insanely popular to take Joey Weimer, our boy Joey here.
Joey,
he's been a little underwhelming, like the average OBP department, but he does have 11 home runs, 10 stolen bases. He's played a really good center field. Like, he's been highly impressive in center field, keeping that job. The barrel rate is excellent. It's 80th percentile barrel rate at 12.2%. Hits the ball hard. And honestly, I feel like the average is a bit unlucky. And I think there's some room to grow there. We've seen it tick up a bit in the month of June. So Joey Weimer, power speed's hard to pass. And he's done a lot of things in June that I've just been kind of impressed with. I mean, he's hit 6 home runs this month. So that's obviously a major step forward in the power department when he hits 6 this month. Stolen 2 bases. That OBP this month is up to 337 and a 537 slug. So Joey, our boy, he's been much improved. So I think that he's a kind of underrated fantasy aspect right now, like for Dynasty, and that he will continue to perform and be really solid. The outfield's going to get crowded, but I think Joey's going to have a spot consistently. So I moved him way up my dynasty rankings, like inside my top 200.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely there with you. Obviously, always been a big Joey guy. We both have, you know, he's got a nice little fan base out there in the fantasy baseball community. Obviously, first pitch a couple of years ago was an absolute blast, probably one of the favorite baseball games I've ever been at, ever. So yeah, definitely in on Weimer as well. This is a pick that surprised me a little bit, that didn't think I'd be making a pick like this, you know, earlier in the season. I'm going to go with Henry Davis here. Recently called up about a week and a half ago, has not started that catcher yet. And who knows how long he retains that eligibility. I mean, he's definitely helpful this year, but who knows if he even has it next year. You know, he's a guy that has played, you know, was always a catcher back in the low minors and obviously in college at Louisville. But as he kind of got closer and closer to major leagues, like more and more outfield reps got factored in, and he had 13 starts in right field in Indianapolis before getting called up. And then 7 out of his 9 starts have been in right field for Pittsburgh, the other 2 coming at DH. So probably an outfielder long-term. I think that's kind of where they're going with that. But this has been, it's a pretty intriguing all-around profile. And got that, you know, though he didn't have a down 22%, I mean, he still hit 284. Oh, no, that's just 264, 380, 472, 10 home runs and 9 steals across 59 games last year. But I think he was just sliding down rankings for the most part. But this year, you know, did very well in AA and AAA before getting the call. 284, 433, 541, 11 home runs and 9 steals. And this guy, you know, there's a reason why they're moving him to the outfield. He's a great athlete, you know, kind of a sneaky speed guy. But I think he's going to be a 20 steal guy, like he's kind of shown the last couple years in the minor leagues, or at least been on pace to do so. No, I don't think so. But maybe a guy that can give you 12 to 15 steals, something like that. I think he could be, you know, a guy that hits around 25 home runs annually as well. He's always been a guy that gets on base at a good clip, though. Some of those were kind of, you know, I won't say fluky, but it was where he got hit a lot, you know, in the last couple of years. So that factors in. So it's not like he's like a huge walk rate guy, but a guy that can hit you a solid average. You know, there's above average quality of contact metrics here. And he's already starting to show that right now. He's a home run and 2 steals, hitting 351 through his first 41 plate appearances. So even as an outfielder, again, that, you know, potential 20, 25 home run, 10 to 15 steal profile with, you know, decent enough average and OBP, that'll definitely play in fantasy. And, you know, maybe he's a guy that's, you know, even better than Dalton Varsha long term or somewhere in that range. So, you know, a guy that's moving up my rankings a good amount right now, Henry Davis.
Yeah, I debated him between Weimer and Davis. So
we're on the same page right now, Chris.
Yeah, for sure. So this next guy took Yoshida. I'm also going to take Kodai Senga, who also debuted this year. So it's kind of like a kind of weird prospect thing. But Senga's been like what we thought he would be, what we said he would be. Everybody was like, oh, like he's going to be such a stud. But I was like, mid-rotation guy that will provide you some decent ratios and some Ks. He's done that. I mean, he's been a 28.5% K rate. He's walked entirely too many batters, but he's given you a 3.5 ERA, which has been really solid. The four seam's been spotty at times, like he's located at bat at times, but his ghost fork has just been absolutely insane. Like he's got a 60% whiff rate against it. I wish he'd just throw it even more than 22% of the time because it's so fun. Cutter's been solid as well. Sweeper, I mean, he's throwing essentially, he's got 6 pitches, but you know, he's four seam, cutter, forkball heavy with the sweeper slider mixing in too.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So Senga's been solid. Like, I'm not sure what your expectations were as the listeners coming in. Like, to the season, I think some people had too high of expectations. But you should be thrilled with what you've got out of Kodai Senga so far this year in 15 starts, considering you got 101 Ks and 81 2/3 innings. Decent ERA. The whip's a little high at 1.35, but everything else has been good. And so I would say this is a pretty good spot for Kodai Senga at this point, considering all the other pitchers that we've talked about. His production's been really good as well.
Yeah, no, it has. Maybe you could say slightly underwhelming given the hype, but he's still, you know, yeah, he's no, not your typical rookie, quote unquote, pitcher, but he's still, you know, learning the major leagues, just like any, you know, 21, 22-year-old prospect would that came through the minor leagues. And even more so, I wonder what do you think is the more difficult adjustment, Chris? This is kind of a fun thing I just thought of. Adjusting, you know, being in, you know, in the major leagues or in the United States, I should say, in the minor leagues, and adjusting from the minor leagues to the major leagues, or being, you know, maybe a little bit older, but adjusting from, you know, Japan or wherever, Korea, over to the major leagues. What do you think is the more difficult adjustment?
Probably the adjustment from like internationally. I mean,
I'm kind of leaning that way too. Yeah,
totally new culture. Like you've got to learn everything all over again, and there's pressure because you are the guy. Like these prospects, like yeah, I mean, there's high expectations, but like Senga, like was the guy, like big signing. Like there's high expectations in New York for him, and he has to learn a new language, a new culture, and perform on the field. I'd say that's a pretty tall task.
No, absolutely is. I was kind of leaning that way as well. All right, I'm going to go a few different players I'm looking at here. I'm going to go Johnny DeLuca. You know, this is a guy that has had a really good minor league career, although he's just not playing much. He debuted on June 7th, and since then, so we're looking at 22 days ago, he's racked up 24 plate appearances. He made starts on the 7th, 9th, 16th, 17th, 20th, and nothing since then. Oh, so he did start, but he got pulled early on the 28th. So he's made five starts in a span of a little over 3 weeks. I wish I'd play him more, but this is a guy, again, really productive minor league career, kind of flew under the radar because he was one of those guys that was a tad old or was perceived to be a tad old for every level he was at, but went 22-20 in 101 games in 2021, 25-17 in 98 games in 2022, and was at 14 home runs and 12 steals in 49 games this year between AA and AAA with a 292, 378, 574 slash line. I think it's if he gets the playing time, which obviously right now he's not getting, but I even wrote him up over on my Patreon kind of back when he, right before he got the call, that, you know, I was like, maybe he doesn't quite have the upside or the ceiling of a James Altman, but I think he's a much safer player, much, you know, a better pure hitter than James Altman. And he's, I think he's got 25 homer pop. I think he's got like 15 or so steal speed. And if everything clicks, I think he could be a guy that's a top 100 fantasy player year in, year out, just needs to get the playing time. But, you know, all the skills are there, you know, pretty solid approach as well. You know, walk rate's always been right around 10% for his career in the minor leagues. And K rate, you know, is, you know, around 16-17% in the minor leagues. So a lot to like here across the board. And if he gets the playing time, I think Lucas would be pretty solid.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you about DeLuca. He just needs the playing time, and that's been hard for him to come by right now. So I'm going with Andrew Abbott. I feel like he's a bit underrated when we talk about all the other pitchers, as you kind of see how far he fell here in this draft. Yeah, I certainly like him less than all the other arms. There's no question about that, but Abbott's been really stellar. His negative is he pitches in a terrible ballpark to pitch, but the swing and miss stuff is certainly there. And his performance has just been really good all season, starting in AA and now and then in AAA and now in the majors. Like, he's looked really, really good. His fastball is not a standout fastball like some of the others that we've discussed, but I do like the secondaries a bit. He mixes in a curve, he mixes in a changeup, and he mixes in a sweeper. And he's using them all pretty adequately, which is certainly good to see. Like, talking to a really solid lefty here, he just profiles to me like he could be a really solid, like, SP3 type with decent Ks. He's not going to continue to pitch to a 1.21 ERA and a sub-1 whip. That shouldn't be expected at all. But I do think that Andrew Abbott could be a really solid arm, and an arm that's kind of volatile, but an arm that's going to give you Ks. And he's going to have starts that look really good at times. Ultimately, this volatile profile kind of resembles a Blake Snell-ish kind of profile.
Yeah, I can see it.
So you're going to have some bump ups and downs, but I like Andrew Abbott overall.
Yeah, I was debating him here too. It was about two, three, four players I was debating for that last pick, and he was definitely one of them. Along with this guy, you know, I'm actually a little surprised you haven't taken yet, given that he's an Atlanta Brave, but I'm going to go to AJ Smith-Shawver here, pick 22. Another, you know, kind of what I was saying about Bobby Miller. I'm just banking on the stuff here, because obviously anybody that's ever watched AJ Smith-Shawver, the stuff is really, really good. And, you know, he was, you know, a couple good outings, couple, you know, so-so subpar outings from him. But overall, you know, I was still very impressed with the stuff, and I think he's going to be a very talented arm long-term. Obviously, you know, the fastball around 94 miles an hour, you know, mixes in the slider, curve, and changeup, all of which are a whiff rate above 35%. Throws those about 45% of the time combined. Four-seam usage rate is 54.5%. And even that, .216 batting average against on the four-seam, .167 on the slider, and didn't give up a hit yet on the changeup, though he only used those at about 9.5% of the time. Stuff is just so good, you know, better than his 21.7% K rate would indicate. But if he can keep the walk rate in check, and he was at about 8.5% in his four outings for Atlanta, so no huge concerns there, and just really loud stuff. I think the Strider comps are insanely unfair, just because, you know, he's an electric arm in the Brave system. You know, they had a good fastball slider combination, though not nearly to the level of Strider, obviously. But I think it's a really good four pitch mix there. Obviously, the bat missing ability is there. We saw that in the minor leagues this year. He was, you know, arguably the best pitcher, one of the top two or three arms in the minor leagues early on this year before his call up. And I think there's a bright future ahead. So I'll take AJ Smith-Shawver here at, where are we at? Pick 22.
Almost took him over Abbott.
I think they're pretty close long term. You know, both, you know, high K guys, got the upside for sure.
Yeah, but I like him a lot, obviously. I am going with another pitcher, Brian Wu, who I think has been pretty underrated. He's talking about Bryce Miller's fastball. I love Brian Wu's fastball, like, almost equally as much. And, you know, he had a rough debut. It was against the Rangers. So since then, he settled in really nicely and looked spectacular since then. So he had 6 earned over 2 innings in the first start. And since then, he has thrown 20.2 innings and allowed just 5 earned runs. And that's come with starts of 7 strikeouts, 9, 5, and 7. And these have been against some decent teams. Like, the Angels are a good hitting team that he faced. White Sox, eh. Yankees are a good hitting team. Nationals, eh. But still, like, when you've looked good against the Angels and the Yankees, like, doing pretty good there. So Wu has looked really solid. I mentioned I love his fastball. I kind of don't like that he uses it so much. I keep kind of harping on that. He throws a four-seam and a sinker. He's throwing the sinker pretty much just to right-handed batters, mixing the four-seam against both-handed hitters. I do like his slider. It misses a lot of bats. His four-seam misses a ton of bats. And he's mixing the changeup against lefties as well. So I think Brian Wu is a little bit underrated because people just look at the stat line like, oh, it doesn't look great. But you take out that one bad start, his debut against the Rangers, and it all looks pretty darn good. 23-year-old Brian Wu, outlier fastball. Like, I'm all into that kind of thing. So I think Wu is just an underrated guy. And talk about all these arms, and I'm kind of thrilled to get Brian Wu here.
Yeah, now he's definitely a player I was debating taking here as well. If you didn't take him, definitely in the mix here for me. I'm going to go with a bat here, and one that I have soured on a little bit. Still like him, but I'm talking about Edward Julian here. You know, hitting .263, .348, .439. That's, you know, a solid slash line. You know, quality contact's pretty good. 11% barrel rate, 42.5% hard hit rate. You like that. Walking 11.3% of the time. You like that. We expected that. Actually, I thought he'd be even higher than that with where he was at in the minor leagues. But the K rate is an issue. 33.1% K rate right now. 34.5% whiff rate. But it's all really in zone. That's the issue right now, because he only has a 15.7% chase rate, which does not surprise me in the slightest. Like, this guy does not swing at anything he doesn't like. He doesn't chase outside the zone. Barely ever. It's always been that way. So it's really all in zone right now. And then you see that with the zone contact rate of 71.9%. That is not good. That's about 10% below league average. And he's really struggling on anything that's not a fastball right now. Fastball is hitting 290 with a 516 slug, but breaking ball is 190. Off speed is actually 258, but he's whiffing so much against anything that's not a fastball. 44% whiff rate against breaking balls, 48% against off speed. Like, that just, like, right there looks a lot like Jared Kelenic's profile, where he was mashing fastballs, but the whiff rate was super high against anything that's not a fastball. You know, ground ball rates tick over 50%. So I want to see him start driving the ball in the air more consistently. So there are some red flags here, but, you know, obviously the upside is still pretty solid from that second base position. He's shown good power, good on base abilities. A guy that can, you know, add a, you know, handful of steals as well. So though I have dropped down the rankings a little bit, I still have some hope that he can be a pretty solid fantasy asset moving forward.
Yeah, he's one that I'm still in on. As is this player, Oscar Colas, who I think people have just discounted, like, way too much. And here's why. Like, the surface numbers, really meh. And yeah, he struggled. He broke camp. He struggled. He's supposed to be a big power guy. It's like, okay, hit one home run, had a .276 slug in his debut. And honestly, like, the AAA stats are kind of meh too. Like, he just has 6 home runs and 200 plate appearances. But I will say that's trended up significantly as of recent. He has looked entirely better in the month of June. His May was whatever, just a home run, but 5 of those home runs have come in the month of June. He's got .286, .384, .512 slash. Here's why I'm still in. Colas has cut his chase rate pretty significantly. Chased 39% of the time last year. It's cut to 34% of the time right now. So he's made improvements to his chase rate. He's making contact on 86% of pitches in the zone, which is really solid. Like, that's high end zone contact, not elite, but it's above average zone contact for sure. He's running an 11% barrel rate right now. He's hitting the crap out of the ball with a 108.5 mile an hour, 9th percentile EV. That's like, for major league standards, that'd probably be like 80th percentile or better. So he's hitting the ball hard. He's barreling it. He's making better contact, and he's chasing less. So Oscar Colas is a dynasty buy right now. I would be in on him if you can be, because I think he's going to come back up and be a staple in this lineup for the White Sox that really need somebody to step up, because they have not been great. I think Colas will do it. He's shown me signs that he is going to improve.
Yeah, definitely a dynasty buy as well. And even I was questioning, like, where was that game power going to be at? But yeah, I think he's going to be a pretty solid hitter long term, a guy that can, you know, maybe like a 270, 20-25 home run type. So again, not a standout, but I still think there's a pretty decent fantasy player in there. You know, maybe it wasn't Tony La Russa that was entirely the issue last year. I mean, I'm not defending La Russa at all, but you know, they're still not a good team this year. So maybe it's, you know, something else, you know, or maybe I don't think it's the manager's issue this year, though. What's the new manager's name? I'm blanking on it. Pedro, last name, White Sox manager. I could easily Google this, and I think that's what you're doing right now.
Yes, Griffel.
Griffel, thank you. I was totally blanking on his last name. But yeah, so maybe, since I don't know, something's going on there with the White Sox. Same with the Cardinals, two very disappointing teams, and the Mets, too. Three disappointing teams there that didn't think would be this bad this year. All right, let's round out the show here. You know, wanted to do 25, but obviously you can do equal number of picks. Go to pick 26 here. I'm going to go to a kind of a similar player to Edward Julian in terms of, you know, decent power. This guy has even better power, but the K rate issues are there as well. So I'm going to round up the show with Matt Mervis from the Cubs. You know, 99 play appearances with the Cubs earlier this year before being demoted back to AAA. It wasn't good. 167, 242, 289 slash line, 3 home runs, 11 RBI, 8 runs scored. But the quality of contact was absolutely there. 13.8% barrel rate, 91 mile an hour average exit velocity, 50% hard hit rate. But again, 32.3% strikeout rate overall, 33% whiff rate. You know, zone contact rate was not terrible, but only 76.7%. You know, contact rate overall was below league average. You know, 41% chase contact rate, well below league average. So needs to, you know, make more contact, cut down on the swing and miss. And maybe, you know, maybe he's more of a 240, 250 guy long term. But I still very much believe that this is a 30 plus homer power bat long term. A guy that can probably settle in as a number 5 hitter or so, driving a decent amount of runs as well. Just, you know, maybe, again, not a 270 guy that we kind of once thought. At least I thought he could be 260, 270. Maybe you got to drop that a good 20, 30 points. But even that 240, like, we've seen 240 not be as much of a detriment to your fantasy team as it used to be, you know, a decade or so ago. You know, a lot of guys are, you know, hitting down there now that used to, you know, be a little bit higher. But I think there's still a very impactful power bat if he can just learn to trim that swing and miss a little bit more and make a little more contact. So I will round out with Matt Mervis, but that's going to wrap us up. A lot of fun names, obviously, here. A lot of fun names we didn't even get to. You know, some of the highest ranked ones I had left on my board. A couple arms like, you know, Brendan Faught, Mason Miller, you know, some bats like Michael Busch, Casey Schmidt, Dominic Fletcher, you know, Gavin Stone, another one we didn't get to. You know, Nick Gonzalez. So still a decent amount of names left on the board here. It's been a really good year for prospects, and I'm sure we'll get a bunch more here through the end of the year, including guys like Encarnacion Strand, Couser, Mauricio, you know, G-Rod coming back. So it should be a pretty good second half of the year as well. But that will wrap us up. Thanks to everyone for tuning in again. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms for more work from each of us, including our prospect and dynasty rankings. And we'll see you next time. But until then, everyone take care.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.